Environment and Natural Resources is open. We have this morning and this afternoon more ambitious agendas while we finish up the Senate bills. Let me tell you the order we're going to go in this morning, how we're going to do this. We are going to hold public hearings on, in this order, Senate Bill 823 first, Senate Bill 665 second, Senate Bill 1044 third, and then after we do that, we are going to do work sessions on those three bills and Senate Bill 508. We'll do the work sessions together because Senator Bates would like to be down here for those votes, but I don't want to pull him out of the meeting he's in four different times. So we'll do the work sessions together after that. Senate Bill 1011 and House Bill 2051 will not be heard this morning. And don't know yet whether they will be heard this afternoon or not. For those of you that are interested in those bills, you can check in with my office between now and 3 o'clock to see whether or not they get scheduled for a hearing at all today. And with that, actually, Senator Atkinson, would you gavel in 823? Because I'm going to go down to the table and say a couple things and introduce my guests.
You handle that.
And sir, while you're working on it, I can waste time here.
Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 823. Sue, can you introduce the bill?
Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 823 authorizes the State Historic Preservation Officer to restrict or condition development along the route of the Oregon Trail. It requires the public body that receives applications for development to submit application to officer for review, declares an emergency as and is effective on passage. There is a dash one amendment that would narrow the regulated area from within 660 feet to within 100 feet of the Oregon Trail.
Let's see here. I can barely read the writing on the sign-up list. Senator Brad Bakian?
Yeah, thank you, Senator. Appreciate that very much. Long memories, Senator Atkinson. That's all I can say. Thank you. Thank you, Senator. This bill we have called the Oregon Trail Protection Act. My good friend seated next to me, Stafford Hazlett, former administrative law judge for the state of Oregon, a great protector of the Oregon Trail now, is going to tell you the story in a minute. But I'll just give you I'll capsulize it for you and tell you why I'm down here. Mr. Hazlett came to me some time ago after having discovered that the state of Oregon has no statutory protections for the Oregon Trail, meaning that there is no preclusion on building things adjacent to or across the trail. And as he researched the issue more, found that there actually are situations occurring as we speak in which building is going up adjacent to the trail. And so it seemed critical that we pass a bill and pass it quickly that in some way created buffer zones on either side of the trail, so this really piece of the nation's history, a real treasure for the state and for the nation, is not subject to having a bulldozer wipe it out. And I will let Mr. Hazlett give you the rest of the story. Thank you, Senator.
I am Stafford Hazlett. And Senator Avakian is too kind. I appreciate the generous introduction. I am very interested in the Oregon Trail. Many people in this building have ancestors who came to Oregon over the Oregon Trail by wagon train in the 19th century. And people continue to come to Oregon because it is still Eden. This is the land of promise. And part of that is to remember our history. Now, I'm already on record in writing with PGE and with the State Historic Preservation Office. I do not have an objection to the windmills. This is not about preventing windmills from being built. We need the energy. The windmills are an important part of Oregon policy. I would just like them to leave a little corridor where we know the Oregon Trail came across the plateau between Pendleton and the Dalles, and presumably in the Baker Valley area. Those are the areas that are likely to be developed. There are going to be windmills there. We need the energy. Could we just arrange them a little bit offset so that the corridor remains? That's what we're asking. In your materials, you have a couple of pictures, and they make the point. In terms of statutory protection, at the moment, what we have is ORS 358.045 and 358.055, which designate the Oregon Trail as special historic, historic significance to Oregon, and that's it. We're simply recognizing their importance. It doesn't go beyond that. In the Mount Hood National Forest, they have established a 1.5 mile wide corridor of inactivity. Only activities that are required for safety and to prevent danger to the public are allowed. There's a map, I've set copies of the map that's identified in the first paragraph. These are just two sections. Senator Atkinson and Senator Avakian have the section that shows Echo, Oregon on it. And to the west of Echo, there was a potato field that the farmer had plowed around the ruts. He and his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather had left the ruts, and then one year they decided to plow the ruts sometime between 1976 and 1981, and that came to the attention of a man named Gregory Francois, who had mapped the Oregon Trail for the National Park Service for the U.S. Bicentennial. And he came out and saw this and stirred up some publicity that resulted in the founding of the Oregon-California Trails Association. In your materials, there's a newspaper article from the Oregonian, which was one of the many pieces of publicity about destruction of Oregon Trail remains in Oregon, that came out at that time and resulted in the founding of the Oregon-California Trails Association, which continues to be interested in preservation and protection of the Oregon Trail, among other pioneer immigrant trails. I am not here as a representative of the Oregon-California Trails Association. I am a member, but they are not sponsoring the bill. They are neutral on the bill. And there's also a letter in there from Gregory Francois, the original founder of the Oregon-California Trails Association, which he sent to me to provide to you as support of the bill. And in your materials you have documentation of the efforts put in by the Oregon Highway Department to create the map. There's explanation from the men who actually did the field work and produced the map, as well as work by the Bureau of Land Management in the 1970s in preparation for the U.S. Bicentennial to create an even better defined map, but which is a little too cumbersome to carry around. It consists of 60 USGS 7.5 minute quads. This provides an easier guide to where the Oregon Trail is. With that, you have the bill. This is the this would be the first state in the country to pass this kind of this level of protection for the Oregon Trail, and I think it would be an excellent idea. If you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to take questions.
Thank you. Did the technology not hook up? That's okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm sorry. What I have is the same thing that you have on your desk, but I thought having it wall-sized would be worth seeing here.
Questions? Senator Atkinson.
I'm looking at this map. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the map you provided. It's long. It's got Echo, Nolan, Gilcomb in it. And I'm very, very, very familiar with the land there. But I see on the map that this is dated 1959, with the larger dots being what was visible. Do you have an updated on what is visible, or because I'm looking at a piece of ground that I know, I would say intimately, and it looks like it was disked over probably in
that's
30s, 40s.
And there are lots of those stretches. The National Park Service has funded a project, and I'm the administrator of that project for the Oregon-California Trails Association, to make that update using current technology to the surveying standard.
So there's no updated map on, or that you know of?
Not specifically identifying visible rut traces from no longer visible rut trace segments.
Do you know if some of these larger rut traces are still out there? I'm looking at the several that are on this map that are close to Pendleton. Do you know if they are?
Yes,
visible? They are visible.
Most of the ones on that map are still visible, and some that that was made by Oregon State Highway Engineers, and there are some places that they didn't get to, or perhaps their notes didn't carry over to the engineer who did the drawing, where we know there are visible ruts that are not reflected on that map. We do have updated maps. The BLM did a very detailed mapping of this, and the Oregon State Highway Department, because that's what it was called at the time, did aerial photography, and the National Park Service just completed the project to put all of the aerial photographs, almost 2,000, into a single unified database. And I'm on the verge of turning that over to Mr. Roper, the State Historic Preservation Officer, who was here a few minutes ago.
There.
which does identify visible traces of the Oregon Trail as of 1971 from the air.
I know that on behalf of the co-sponsors of the bill, I think it'd be pretty, I think if that would be available on a DVD form, that the committee would love to take a look at that.
Unfortunately, we're talking about 10 DVDs.
I'll tell you what, we've got
some popcorn.
We've got a packed schedule. We'll talk about popcorn and DVDs
later.
I will arrange with Mr. Roper. The other side of this is it contains data that Mr. Roper is entitled to control.
He's sitting right next to you right now. But
one
more quick question,
yes.
And that is, in the administration of the federal project through the National Park Service that you're working on, has there been discussion about having a small, like, landowner sign or some kind of historical marker along those ruts that signifies this is the Oregon Trail and this is the Oregon? Signage is actually something that was big in the historical preservation movement in the 40s. And has that been something that federal project has discussed?
That aspect of that project does not include putting signs up, but the Oregon California Trails Association does that on its own, separately from the National Park Service. And the Oregon California Trails Association is committed to placing signs where people are willing to have them placed, and have been placing signs regularly since the mid-1990s, early 1990s, on known routes of the Oregon Trail.
Okay. Mr. Roper, you don't have to say anything. I brought you up only because your name came up, but I would note that Mr. Roper and the Parks Department have been exceedingly generous and helpful with this concept and with the notion that with adequate support from the legislative body, would be very interested in lending a hand to the updating of maps or any other preservation efforts, but again, with proper support from this body. You don't need to comment, but since your name came up, I just waved you up here. Okay, good enough then. All right, thank you both very much, Linda Ludwig and Art Schlack.
Thank you for the opportunity to present on the Oregon Trail.
Slavik, why don't you go ahead while Mr. Hazlett gets his gear packed up, and then we'll move Mr. Schlack in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. And I want to come to you in support of this bill today. The Oregon Trail is absolutely a historical and cultural treasure. It's a pearl in our state. And as a citizen, as a resident, having lived on the east side of the state for many, many years, I've seen portions of the trail that most people haven't. I've flown over it in my small plane. And believe me, if we let any more of the trail be disturbed, once it's gone, it's gone. And it takes with a piece of Oregon's history. We do support the Dash 1 amendments. I've been talking with the chair and as the chief sponsor of the bill, and we understand there's going to be an amendment that would help us with Section 2, the legalities there. I believe the amendment would not apply the bill to within city boundaries. We do know in the 1959 map there were three cities that showed some trail on there, Echo, Pendleton, and the Dalles. And just so that we're legally square, we would like to continue working and have that small amendment put in the bill.
And that's something that both I and the advocates would help with on the House side, is a clear exemption for those incorporated areas, in which I think you told me after having called the cities there really is no visible trace of the trail within those incorporated areas anymore.
That's absolutely true.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification, because I was concerned for a moment there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ms. Ludwig. Mr. Schlack, you want to change seats with Ms. Ludwig there? And
thank you, Mr. Chair. Art Schlack with the Association of Oregon Counties. Mr. Chair, I guess I'm pleased also to support the passage of Senate Bill 823 with the Dash 1 amendments. This is a improvement over the base bill. It provides, I think, some flexibility for local government, and at this point it sounds like the cities may be written out of this, so it's basically going to fall to the counties at this point. The amendment in the Dash 1 amendments in Section 2, which reduce the area to 100 feet from the trail, I think is a major step forward from the standpoint, from this just one teeny standpoint at this point, is that, as you know, Measure 37, regulations that limit development. So there's a small implication here, but I don't think it's really going to get triggered, because in rural areas, sites are much larger, and we don't have the situation where we're looking at some development that probably the development could be moved to another site rather than in the proximity of the trail. So I think this is very, very positive.
I think we need to stop there for just a minute, because savor the moment, because I don't think Senator Prezanski has heard the words teeny, small, and Measure 37 in the same sentence. That's a long.
I was relishing it. I was kind of in my own world there for a moment.
Mr. Chair, I've been dealing with those issues for about 8 years at this point, so I'm happy to say teeny and small at this point. But there is that potential implication, but again, I think it's I would say it's de minimis at this point. So I'm happy to support the passage of this Senate bill with the amendments that are being discussed.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schlack, very much. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 823. Now, this is only going to take us about 10 seconds, so if it's all right, I'm going to open up a work session on 823, and if I could have a motion on the Dash 1s.
Mr. Chair, I'd be delighted to move the Dash 1 amendments to the Senate bill.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson, for moving the Dash 1s. Any discussion and any objections? Seeing none, the Dash 1s are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'd be delighted to move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator, for moving 823 to the Senate floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion and any objections? And seeing none, so ordered. Do you want to co-carry this one?
I'd be ecstatic.
Right. Senators Zavakian and Atkinson will co-carry the bill. With that, I will close the work session with thanks to everybody who testified on the bill, especially Mr. Hazlett. Close the work session on Senate Bill 823 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 665. And Senator Nelson, if you want to make your way up.
Put in a blurb here.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 665 expands development allowed in conjunction with Speedway destination site to include permanent housing units.
Senator Nelson.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Nelson, State Senator from District 29, which includes four counties in Northeast Oregon, Morrow, and Umatilla County being the two which this bill would affect. My right is David Allen, who is representing the Oregon International Motor Speedway. On my left is Gary Neal, who is the Port of Morrow manager. We brought this bill. This is a continuation of a bill that we had in the last session. We had Morrow County, and this particular area is already zoned to create a motor speedway. And this is just an extension of this bill. One of the things that's really brought this forward is that the NASCAR is a key component of this thing, and they were trying to be placed in the state of Washington, Bremerton, Washington. The Washington legislature just adjourned last week. They did not approve any bill to place a speedway in Bremerton, Washington. So the NASCAR is now looking for other sites in the Northwest. They want to place something in the Northwest. We already have the land zoned for a roadway on the south side of Interstate 84, and so part of this bill is to include portions of land on the north side of Interstate 84. As the bill is originally written, we understand has some issues, and we've spoken with the chair and members of the committee on that. David Allen and Gary Neal are here to say that they're willing to work with lots of folks. We're all under a time constraint, and I will turn it over to David Allen to explain what the bill does and what he's looking at in the form of amendments for the benefit of the committee.
That's good. And Mr. Allen, you've only got about 5 minutes to give us the package, so launch right in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'll try and keep my comments brief. Senate Bill 665 is an important bill for the state of Oregon. As Senator Nelson was just referring, there's a limited window of opportunity with respect to NASCAR. They have twice now, in two consecutive years, attempted to get favorable legislation through the Washington legislature with no success. That's in large part due to the financing package that they were after there, which is traditional stadium financing where the state ends up paying. In the most recent bill that was defeated, half the cost. Senate Bill 665, as Senator Nelson was mentioning, builds upon Senate Bill 1094, which was passed a session ago. Senate Bill 1094 remedied some appellate issues that were raised when Morrow County went through a local land use planning process, was taken to Lubon appeal with respect to a speedway project. A couple things are important about that process. First, that local approval was what we call a Kansas-style NASCAR track development. It was a racetrack with some limited accessory uses around the exterior of the track and a facility that would sit vacant a majority of the year. When we went through the LUBA process, one of the issues was Goal 3 exceptions. Senate Bill 1094 relieved Morrow County from the need to take further Goal 3 exceptions. The land that you're looking at in the map that I've provided the drawing is all currently zoned either space age industrial or aerospace industrial. For those that have some long-standing Oregon history, this was apparently going to be a Cape Canaveral on the Columbia, and this land was all zoned accordingly 30 years ago. So 1094 relieved Morrow County from having to take further exceptions to those goals. It also removed some of the restrictions on accessory uses related to the racetrack. Between Senate Bill 1094's passage and now, the scope of the project has expanded. We have a different developer. I represent Oregon International Speedway. We were not the developer on board when the local land use process was engaged in and the Senate Bill 1094 process. The drawing that I've shown you is our broad vision of what this project can hopefully be. The current version of the bill, Senate Bill 665, Legislative Council drafted around Destination Resort, and we originally had some difficulty with Destination Resort. If you're familiar with the rules in Chapter 197, they don't really seem to lend themselves to a speedway very well.
Got you down to about one more minute,
all right.
So wrap it up.
What I want to move forward here is that we have begun negotiations with DLCD. You'll note the current version of the bill has a supersiding provision. We've removed that in our proposed amendments. We recognize that the agency won't support that, and we're fine. The remaining issues, I believe, are along the riverfront with respect to the urban levels of use that go along there. We're willing to engage in conversations with them about a destination resort style of planning for that, and we would ask that amendments be taken up in the House to address those concerns. We understand the agency is here to testify in opposition because of the current composition of the bill. I believe we can work through the House to get amendments that work for everyone. So I appreciate your time, and I'm open to any questions you might have.
Do you want to go ahead before we do questions, or did that take care of it?
Pretty much, sir. Thanks.
Okay. Committee, anything?
I've got a couple.
Senator Pozanski.
I'll try to make it quick. When 1094 came through last session, my understanding this it's a build-out of the residential area was not part of that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you say this builds upon. That concerns me. I'll tell you right now, I'm opposed to what I'm hearing right now because it goes beyond what I was led to believe what we were going to accomplish 2 years ago. And so I see this today. Tell me what's going to be here in two more years. What's going to be the next build out from this?
Well, I don't think you're going to see another build out from what you see on this current vision drawing. The phases of the development, you'll see the road course. If you look at the map, it's on the eastern boundary of this parcel. The road course will be built. We're hoping to get local approvals this summer and begin construction of that road course. That will be the first phase of the project. Obviously, NASCAR is a big component of, if NASCAR comes, the rest of this will more than likely, at one phase or another, through local land use planning or through the legislative process or both, would be what we were after.
Thank you. The last thing is, I just put on the record, based on where this bill is today, without having what I would call some very substantial amendments before this committee, I'm not going to be able to support it at this point. I think it's too late in this process to be asking this committee, knowing how we've been working, to send over a bill that has not even half-baked without knowing what those amendments actually are going to provide for. And it seems to me that this is an area that I'm much more reluctant to go here as compared to where I went 2 years ago.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator, for being here this morning. Gary Neal.
That's
you. That's fine. You did your bit. Okay. Harlan Levy. Just for fun, we'll put Stephen Cafori up here with you. And Amy Joyce.
Senate version of WWE. NASCAR WWE.
Mr. Levy, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. I'll be very brief. I know you've got a packed agenda. We support this bill. We think this is an incredible opportunity, not only for this part of Oregon, but for the state as a whole. This is a major economic development opportunity. It would create a lot of jobs and be good for the economy. And we would ask that this committee favorably consider this bill.
Thank you. Mr. Cafori.
Members of the committee, my name is Stephen Cafori. I'm here today representing the Oregon chapter of the American Planning Association. You will not see me very much in front of you because although people might think that the planners are kind of a unified group, we run an enormous spectrum of philosophies, and it's very rare that we can get agreement on bills, so I don't come here a lot talking in favor or opposing many bills. I want to say that we agree with Senator Pozanski on this bill. We were working against it last session, the original concept, and we do not approve of the legislature getting involved in land use decisions. We have a process that we've established, and so we would oppose it.
Thank you. Ms. Joyce?
Thank you, Chair Vakian, Committee Amy Joyce, Department of Transportation. Here simply to get on the record that as we read the bill, it doesn't change the provisions in the current statutes that say that the developer would be paying for, financially responsible for, any transportation changes that are necessitated by this kind of development. And that's all we wanted to get on the record.
Senator, did you have any questions?
I guess maybe a statement. I should have asked Mr. Allen. I apologize. I didn't. To me, when I look at the resort housing part, this is not going to be for individuals that are going to be, quote-unquote, working at the racetrack. This is going to be exclusive area with golf courses, and it's going to be catering to people who are not actually, except for maybe being participants in the grandstand of the event. And based on what we've also just heard from the agency, those are the substantial concerns I have. I mean, we're being asked to vote on something that we have no understanding exactly how it's going to be moved through or what would be done on the house side, understanding it'd have to come back here. But I'm very reluctant when we have that this large of gaps in the piece of legislation to be able to support it. So I apologize to those who are proponents for it.
Okay, thank you very much. Bill Murray, Bob Rindy, Kate Kimball.
Good morning. My name is Bill Murray. I am the president of Civic Motorsports Management. With me is Bob Castell, who is one of the members of this group. I'd like to just briefly, because the names here are somewhat confusing, I'd like to just kind of give you a bit of a heads up. The group that has proposed this bill is Oregon International Speedway, Pacific Northwest Motorsports Park. And that's the Boardman Group. Our group is from, and they're in Morrow County. Our group is from Sherman County, specifically Grass Valley. And the name of our group is Pacific Motorsports Management. And our project is Oregon Raceway Park. I don't wish to belabor the committee with unnecessary facts here, but there needs to be some difference, and I want to make sure there's a thorough understanding. The initial proposal that Oregon Speedway had was for a NASCAR-type track, and they're still talking NASCAR-type tracks. What we represent is the amateur road racing community. We are racers, and we are business people, and we are building a very similar track in Grass Valley. We've been working on this for quite some time. We went through the land use process. We got the proper zoning. We bought the land. We went through the correct procedures. We didn't try to do an end run through the legislature. Having said that, I would like to read into the record our response.
Actually, because we're on such short time, if you've given it to us in writing, we'll make sure that the committee reads it, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'd like to say that as we see this in our group, we've done the pro forma on this. We've looked through, you know, what the market was, and we're the people that have been doing this. Of the original 10 people in our group, we've got over 200 years of experience combined in putting on races, involved with the sanctioning bodies, and so forth. And I can tell you that they keep talking. Now that they've changed, they being Oregon International Speedway, when they were talking NASCAR, and 85,000 spectators for an event, that kind of thing, that would be right if you could do that. It's like going to a small community and saying, I've got a winning lottery ticket for you. It's tremendous economic development. Is it likely to happen? No, it is not. This is a red herring. And we resent the use of this illusion of motorsports prosperity to be used in this way, because we don't see this as a genuine effort to build a racetrack. And if you were to tell me I'd be here trying to lobby against a racetrack, I'd say never. But I just don't believe this is a genuine, bona fide, real business plan. What these guys are looking for, and it's spelled out pretty clearly here in our response, but they're looking for a land grab. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's how it looks to us. We've done the numbers, and they just don't support this kind of an operation.
Okay, thank you. We're going to have to move on now, but I appreciate your testimony very much. Mr. Rindy?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And I have turned in some written comments, and in interest of time, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. The department worked closely with the county several years ago when the county approved this under an exception process. We worked again at length last session to pass the legislation 1094 that greatly expanded that exception, and I think was probably unique in the amount that it did override state and local land use laws to allow the speedway. We understand that the proponents are continuing to work on this, and we have committed to working with them on improving this legislation. We did get some draft conceptual amendments, and I discussed those at the second half of page 2 and page 3. We didn't see those as final amendments. It's very difficult to respond to conceptual amendments because we're never sure what the final is going to end up looking like. To be very brief, we still do not support the proposal with the conceptual amendments. I understand that there's going to be more work on it, but at this point, this proposal is essentially for an additional, what looks to us like a permanent destination resort with no limits on the commercial and industrial uses and residential uses that we have in destination resorts. We have a law to allow destination resorts. That law has a lot of opportunities and as well as a great deal of safeguards. This proposal would allow all the uses and the opportunities, but none of the safeguards. So we would encourage the proponents to look at that provision under destination resorts. It appears to us that most of what's being requested here would be allowed today as a destination resort. And maybe we can work toward that with the additional amendments to this. But at this point, the provisions are wide open. We do wonder about a piece of legislation.
I need you to wrap it up very quickly.
Thank you. The only other thing I wanted to point out, Mr. Chair, is the conceptual amendment seemed to limit this to one developer. And I think that we should raise that as a something unique that I've seen in land use law, where a single developer is provided an opportunity that no other developers have. Thank you, and I'll conclude.
I want to make sure the committee understood your conclusion correctly. What I thought I heard you say was that your agency opposes the bill as it's written, but you're not sure yet what the position is going to be with the amendments, because you haven't seen them yet.
Did I hear that
correctly?
You heard that correctly, although we did see conceptual amendments, and we have concerns with those.
So the conceptual amendments you would still oppose?
We would.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kate Kimball with 1,000 Friends of Oregon, and I'll make this really fast. You have written testimony from me. We have three concerns. One is the size. This authorizes development on 15,000 acres, the size of Manhattan. Secondly, it sets aside the normal limitations and process for review. So, for example, it says that you have to provide roads and public transportation, but none of those are required to be integrated with the existing transportation infrastructure. So we don't know how this will be integrated into the current situation there. And third, it takes away right of review so that the public is shut out of the process and they don't have a chance to appeal, even though the basis for appeal seems to be extremely limited under this bill. So we urge you to oppose the bill, and thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Okay, seeing no questions. Just in case it comes up in the last two people that are going to testify, I am relatively certain that the amendments strip out that piece that changes the legal appeals process. Keep the record clear. The last two, Linda Ludwig and Peggy Lynch. I don't want to run out of time, so we're going to pass your bill next.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. The League has some concerns that you've already heard articulated this morning. However, Senator Nelson has been very gracious and I do believe would like to continue to work on the amendments and is willing to share them and see if there's some solution. The only other piece that I'd like to add and concern was it was in the conceptual amendment, it's in the base bill, about the water supply works and services that will be master planned. and able to be provided to any city or municipal industrial water supply service. This is very unusual. We haven't seen this happen before in Oregon, where we provide water by master plan to other cities or municipal water supply services. So we do have some concerns about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Lynch?
Peggy Lynch for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. I, too, will be brief. Our land use system provides for a methodical process to consider all impacts of proposed development, and this bill seems to say that such consideration has little value, and we disagree with that. If this project is good for Morrow County and good for Oregon, it will receive favorable consideration under the current process, but no process should be allowed to be cited without this process. Thank you.
Okay, thank you both very much. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 665. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 508. Sue, if you could just remind us.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 508 prohibits the Land Conservation and Development Commission from adopting or enforcing rules that impose restrictions on or requirements for outright permitting uses in areas zoned for exclusive farm use. There is a dash one. Oh, actually, this is a gut and stuff. There's a dash one and a dash two. I believe you saw the dash one at our previous public hearing. The dash two would narrow the scope of the proposed siting of a hospice to existing dwellings with one accessory building not to exceed 10,000 square feet of total floor area.
Senator Brzezinski, do you want to make any comment?
This is a very narrow, limited, let's say, exception. It's been crafted to be so, and will, where there's already been a footprint on this area, it would be somewhat of an expansion, but it will be very small in size. It has very tight parameters as to what can be constructed. And with other safeguards, as well as the purpose of this is for allowing individuals who are terminally ill, life expectancy of less than 12 months, who are given up to cure and treatment, will be able to actually, spend the rest of their time in a facility that will be, nurturing until their death.
All right. If I could have a motion on the amendment.
I move dash 2s into Senate Bill 508.
Senator Brzezinski moves dash 2s into Senate Bill 508. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the dash 2s are adopted. And a motion on the bill?
I move the Senate Bill 508 as amended by the dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Brzezinski moves Senate Bill 508 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? I would just add for the record that I think the bill makes good sense with respect to the fact that there is great need in this area, and I agree with Senator Brzezinski that the footprint on this farm use land is going to be exceedingly small, especially as compared to the other 50 exceptions that we've already got, which is why I very much support Senator Brzezinski's efforts here. At the same time, I have great concerns about the long list and seemingly unending list of exceptions to farm use land, and think that this state needs to take a more comprehensive view of how we are going to start preserving that farmland rather than chip away at it time after time. I don't put this into the same category as many of the other exceptions because of the exceedingly small footprint it's going to bring. But I'll be encouraging whatever committee would govern this kind of a task in the interim to take a more comprehensive look at our use of that farmland.
Mr. Chair, if I can.
Senator.
Regarding, I think, what you'll be seeing coming out of another committee, Land Use Fairness, will be a directive to the Big Look Commission that's been established to come back to us by 2008 to be looking at issues such as this and giving us hopefully some overview. And or we will have a separate interim committee within the legislature doing it.
That's perfect. Thank you, Senator. Any objections? Senator Atkinson, objection. With that, the The motion carries, and Senator Pruszynski will carry the bill on the floor.
And we'll also have Senator Morissette possibly assisting since it's actually in his district.
Very well. With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 508. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 665. 1044. And Senator Atkinson and Linda Swearingen, if you would come up. Just because I don't know my committee's schedule. Senator, do you have something at 8:30?
I don't think so. I think I'm over.
Senator Bates?
I believe I do, but I think they can call me back and forth. Let me check.
We've got about 10 minutes to hear this bill. One, two, three. We've got five people signed up, but I very much want to hear this bill this morning, so let's see what we can get done.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jason Atkinson, State Senator from Southern Oregon. Let me tell you very briefly about this bill. This bill, the Destination Resort Siting Bill, as it became to be known, I believe in 2003, was a very long compromise piece of legislation that extended some certain rules, which Linda can explain, on destination resorts in the Central Oregon region. It had two issues with it. One was a Scribner's error, which is a technical fix that the amendment to this bill seeks to fix. The other is it left out major portions of ONC counties, which I thought could be put in there. It was our intent to bring a bill to you that had the support of the executive branch and had wide support, but at the end of the day, we have not got any closed doors, but at the same time, we don't have any open doors to report to you. So we have two flavors of the bill to hopefully be passed out when we have the amendment. The first flavor is extending the bill to Jackson, Josephine, Curry, and Douglas counties, and fixing the Scribner's error, or the other one is just to fix the Scribner's error. And as we see how the bill can progress. At a minimum, I think the Scribner's error is good policy because it's something that we all agreed was a mistake that would be good to clean up. As a matter for Southern Oregon, I think it would be excellent to extend the destination resort law to one of the most growing populations. So with that, that's the intent of the bill, and that's where we're at this date.
Ms. Swearingen?
My name's Linda Swearingen, and I would agree with everything that Jason said to this point. We are waiting for an amendment. We thought it would be here, and basically the amendment would actually scratch out on line 32 and in Curry, Douglas, Jackson, and Josephine counties. The reason why we would do this is at this point in time we do not have the executive branch on board and would like to at least have the Scrivener's error fixed. We're going to continue to work directly with the governor's office to see if we can't do that. And I think I just turn it over to Bob Rindy from BLCD just to talk about the Scrivener's error.
Mr. Chair, Bob Rindy for the department, and I'm concurring with what Linda has just told you. We would be in support of this bill. We worked with the proponents once we became aware of the Scribner's error to try and get that fixed. And I think if the extra counties are stricken from the bill and we haven't seen those amendments, we would then support this bill and urge you to pass it.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. Paul Dewey, Kate Kimball, and Steve Cofori.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Paul Dewey. I'm with a group called Central Oregon Land Watch. We've been in Central Oregon for nearly 25 years, working primarily in Deschutes and Jefferson counties. Staff, I believe, is passing out a map, the classic map that's worth a thousand words. And basically, the message here is that the exception is swallowing the rule. Destination resorts were designed as an exception to the practices of protecting farm and forest lands, rural lands. And what we are seeing is a rapid erosion, essentially the creation of many cities throughout Central Oregon. It is really undercutting the fundamental distinction between urban and rural areas, between urban growth boundaries and rural development. This is this has been increasing since 2003, with the reference to that earlier bill that was passed in 2003. That is, the fragmentation is increasing. Measure 37 happened, of course, along the way. And when you look at a map of Central Oregon, of the combination of destination resorts and rural development from Measure 37, it's almost as if the land use rules, what you were referring to in terms of all the exceptions to the farm rules, are eroding the land use system completely. So each time there's a step of, well, let's go from 2-to-1 ratio to 2.5-to-1 ratio, it's erasing what we originally established in terms of our land use system. And so, and what is referred to as a Scrivener's error, we really believe needs to be reexamined. This was a 2003 provision that I don't believe would pass now, given the fragmentation caused by Measure 37. So all you're doing here is increasing rural development with this bill. So we respectfully ask you to not pass it. Thank you.
Mr. Ford.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Stephen Gafford, representing the Oregon chapter of the American Planning Association. We have concerns, again, with the proliferation of destination resorts that function more as exurban residential developments. These resorts do not require statewide planning regarding housing affordability, public facilities, transportation, and environmental protection. We are especially concerned about the separation standard to foster destination resorts in rural areas. We approve of that, rather than in the areas around urban areas, such as in Southern Oregon and in Central Oregon. So we disapprove of this bill, and I support Mr. Dewey's comments.
Thank you, Ms. Kimball.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Kate Kimball with 1000 Friends of Oregon, and I concur with the comments of the other speakers. I would like to just clarify or add one thing, which is the idea of destination resorts is as tourist facilities. That was really what their engine was, and that's why they make economic sense. As we see them turn into rural subdivisions, the economics of these change. And one of my frustrations is we all know how much the property value increases with destination resorts, but we have a very poor way of accounting for what the cost of those resorts are. One example is Redmond estimates that it costs them about $850,000 for the additional transportation cost to them due to destination resort. They can't recoup the money, and they're at a loss. What I would urge you to do as we go forward is think of a way for us to get a better economic assessment of what makes these resorts work, what doesn't make them work, and what is the net impact up to the community of the economics of these, especially keeping them as tourist facilities, because that really is what the economic engine is. And we oppose the bill, by the way.
I think that point didn't get past us,
yeah,
but
right.
Thank you. Questions, anybody? Senator Bates.
You're indicating that some of the counties that these destination resorts are located in and are opposed to them because of the cost to the counties. Right now we have a county wanting to open up the Potosi area for destination resort, and the county's the one pushing it. In my particular area, my county commissioners want this to change because they want destination resorts to be available in Southern Oregon. And Deschutes County, and since I happen to have a place in Sun River, loves Sun River because they get huge tax benefit out of it at practically no cost to the county. It's been a real point of discussion. So I'm not quite sure I follow your argument how the county governments are opposed to these, if that's what you're telling us.
I was not trying to suggest that. I believe Mr. Dewey has a comment on it.
Mr. Speaker, if I could respond. Actually, it's the city of Redmond. And what's interesting here is that Redmond, previous to these latest two destination resorts, had actually written letters in support to the county saying destination resorts are a good thing. Well, then they crossed the threshold and they started realizing that it was causing a tremendous infrastructure cost to Redmond. And, you know, if Redmond had known about this bill, I think they would have come in, because they've stated in the newspapers that they want to come to the legislature. They're being hammered, as is Bend. And so I think you're going to be seeing the cities of Central Oregon coming to you saying, "This, yeah, it's great for the counties, but it's not great for the cities."
I wonder how the businessmen in those cities feel about it.
If I might, Mr. Chairman,
you might very quickly, because
I appreciate that.
Last word on
my only request is for us to have a way of looking at the economics so we can base this on fact.
Very good. Thank you all three very
Thank
much.
You.
With that, I will close the public hearing on 1044, and we will await to see whether we get amendments before this afternoon. With that, we're adjourned. Hey, Floyd.
on this little workers' comp.